Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I tell a story about when I was leaving the house with the kids and I was in a rush and I hit my shoulder on a coat rack, left a black and blue mark.
That's Counselor Deborah Falada on Focus on the Family Minute about healing the deep wounds in your soul.
And later that evening, John came over to give me a hug. He didn't know that there was a bruise there. He pushed up against it and I reacted like, ow, you know, pushed him away. This is what we do with our emotional sore spots, our emotional wounds. You may not have caused the wound, but you get close enough to me to push on it. And when you get close enough to me in relationships or say something or do something that's going to push on that wound, I'm going to react. But what if the reaction is God revealing something that he wants to heal in me?
More insights from Deborah Falada today on communicating about what's really going on in your heart at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, the rest of the story. Al was in the legal battle of his life. Oh, he had been sued before. He'd been sued more times than he could recall. You see, Al had invented this machine once, but no sooner did he sell the first one than some other fellow claimed to have invented it first. Turned out the other man had actually copied Al's machine and had rusted it intentionally so that it would appear older than Al's. Case dismissed, but only after years of litigation and after a fortune in attorney's fees. There was another time that Al was taken to court and stripped of a patent because the other lawyer convinced the judge that a similar contraption had been built in Egypt 2,000 years B.C. Why, you know, Al lost a patent once, and he lost all of the rewards that would have gone with it, because in his patent application, he had omitted a single solitary comma. So, Al had been burned by the legal system before. Yet never before had his case been on shakier ground. It was yet another invention. This time it was easily proved that a fellow named Joe Swan had been experimenting in the field for more than 30 years before perfecting his invention, and it was the same invention that Al claimed was his own. Historically, actually, factually, there was not the slightest doubt. Joe Swan had been working on the device longer than Al. Joe Swan had perfected it before Al. Al's patent on the same item was so defective that no manufacturer could ever reproduce it from the drawings, so Al was in trouble, all right. Particularly when opposing attorneys got him on the witness stand. There it became apparent that his knowledge of theoretical science was astonishingly deficient. The lawyer said, "Tell us about Ohm's law." Al couldn't do it. And on went this humiliating process for years. And as the trial drew to a close, it seemed that Al would be beaten once again. A patent, Al declared bitterly, a patent is simply an invitation to lawsuits. Indeed, virtually everything that he had ever invented had been promptly disputed, and even the cases that he had won had proved more trouble than the winning was worth. But this is the rest of the story. At the termination of this most recent courtroom contest, Federal Judge William A. Wallace ruled that because the measurement of one component in Al's invention was 1/64 of an inch, compared to the same component in an otherwise identical invention measuring 1/6 of an inch, Al's patent was in fact distinct and would be upheld. At last, Al had turned the tables in his own favor. He had won his case on a technicality. And the true prior inventor, Joseph Swan of Great Britain, would just have to be satisfied with the applause of posterity. Now, what I've been telling you, and there is no question, is that Joseph Swan had first perfected the carbon filament incandescent light. Joe Swan had the bright idea first. Joe Swan had invented the electric light bulb before Al, before Thomas Alva Edison did. But it didn't make any difference, because by the time Edison had won the legal battle to uphold his own patent and reap the rewards, only months remained before the patent expired. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Slow Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today we're talking about an article I wrote last week, and it's about videos depict a violent beating of a homeless man in Arroyo Grande. We've got Douglas Mark in the studio. We have Michael Federico, a good Samaritan who's given him a place to live while he gets his life back together. Dan Dow will be calling in later. I've got a couple more text messages. Sad to hear about the assault on Doug. If Doug had defended himself with power or bear spray, I am sure he would have been in trouble for defending himself against those fine individuals. Then we got another one. Would it be treated any differently if they were not white? I don't know. I don't think we have a lot of issues with the court treating people different for color here at all. And in fact, I've seen it go actually more the other way. Remember the Black Lives Matters when they were stopping people from driving their cars and holding them? There was a pregnant woman that wasn't allowed to get to the hospital. There have been some issues in this, but I don't think that was the biggest issue. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to share with our guests?
Maybe I missed it, but the youngest one that had been charged previously with knifing a homeless person, what was the penalty? Did he have to serve time or anything for that?
No one is allowed to talk about that because of his age. I did try to get someone to talk to me, and I was told we can't even confirm it happened. I talked to someone and they did tell me it did happen, but they are so protective. Until you're 18, your crimes are private. But the interesting thing to me is, were you guys aware that he had done it before? Were you told that by?
Yes.
Okay. And he was 17 when he did it?
I was not told by any agency. I was told by people.
Okay. I don't know what age he was. I was just told he had been convicted in the past of knifing a man for no other reason than he was homeless.
And so if you do that, then it's just erased when you come of age, turn 18?
That's what I asked the DA about that, and they said we're not allowed to bring up anything until he turned 18. But then you have the law that says until you're 26, it only matters what you've done in the past. Past history and youth gives you a big break in penalties. But if past history can't be mentioned, it doesn't seem to make sense.
Whatever happened to in
Thank
grade
you.
School when you misbehaved, it's going on your permanent record. Whatever happened to that?
I think that was our parents. What I think is what happened to parents? Because in Arroyo Grande, you have children posting on social media attacks on the homeless. And these kids look, I mean, they look 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. Where are their parents? What is going on there? Doug, one of the things that you brought up was that the judge made a big deal that they confessed. They had their bloody shoes. They had their own videos on social media. They were high-fiving and talking about how proud they were of themselves. I don't know if a confession was even needed.
Well, the reason they, quote, confessed is because it was the most expeditious way for them to get the thing done with and get out of the way before. The last thing they wanted was for this to go in front of a jury or anything of that nature. And so that by saying, oh, yeah, we're guilty, they just boom, 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 and they rubber stamped it, and they were going to make it even less of a punishment until
at the first arraignment, you know, that's where she was. It felt like she was ready to rubber stamp it.
I had heard that the attorneys were pushing, because of their ages, to just give them probation and no time in jail. And that's when the district attorney's office said, you need to see the videos, Your Honor. And again, some of the videos were them bragging about laughing, high-fiving, and bragging about what they did. But when you're kicking someone in the head and your white tennis shoe is covered in blood, to me, that's just horrific.
Well, go ahead.
At what point does two kicks to the head less than four? Because the last one knocked me out cold. I was out for over a minute. And, you know, when does it become attempted murder? I mean, what had they been wearing boots?
Yeah, you could have died. They were just walking away, and they didn't know whether you were alive or dead.
The last kick laid me out flat on my face, and if not for, you know, they walked away not knowing if I was alive or dead, as Mike said, and that's...
And Mike, what you just said there is accurate. When he saw that it was still moving, he went back and gave him... They were walking away, and they noticed he moved. He went back and gave him one swift kick to the head, one more, and
this...
This is after they were already, their feet were already blood, you know, the shoes were bloody, and they went back again. They didn't know if he was alive.
You know, and during that first arraignment, it really surprised me, and it was actually very impressive, the work that the police were doing on this and staying connected to it, because the chief of police, the arresting sergeant, the chief of police was David Culver. And I think the arresting sergeant was Jeremy Burns.
Yep, right.
And then the other corporal showed up to make sure that this didn't slip through the cracks, you know, to do what they could to show that force of support for Doug. And then even after this happened and they postponed it because, you know, Doug said, you know, we could dispense with all these questions if people just looked at this video. The reason the police were all there is because of the brutality of these videos. And in fact, the stuff that was posted and the things that have been seen, the stuff that was released, was maybe half of what that brutality really extended to. And the police were cautious about setting that out there. But anyway, it was enlightening and impressive to see their support for, you know, these guys getting a more serious sentence.
Yeah, because the DA's office and the victim's witness program has been super in trying to assist me in. Help me, you know, it's really...
And one of the things also, if you'd like to, and again, viewer beware, but under an article called Videos Depict Violent Beating of Homeless Man in Arroyo Grande on Cal Coast News, we do have a link to the video. YouTube looked at the video as being too violent for children, and you have to actually click through to YouTube and have an account for an adult where they won't let you watch the video because they thought it was too violent. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation today?
Just a couple comments. These two guys should have been tried for attempted murder as adults, and the judge's decision is just one word for that, outrageous.
Everyone agrees with you.
That's all I had.
Thank you very much for calling in. I think anyone that looks at that video is absolutely shocked. I don't know when violent crime and sexual crimes became lower than theft crimes. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's scary to understand the soullessness, the brutality, and the lack of humanity that these people had to adopt to create this situation. I'm not saying this right, but to go in and kick the living crap out of somebody,
you don't know.
Walk away.
You don't know. You never met, and you literally left your house saying, let's go find someone, beat them up, put it on social media. You planned this, you hunted for someone, and then you assaulted them, and you're going to spend 6 months in jail?
Yeah, it's stupid.
Beyond me.
And we will take your calls. You can call in 805-238-5775. Dan Dow will be calling in shortly, and he is going to talk about what he is doing right now to try to get higher criminal sentences for violent assailants.
Now, I don't know if this same judge was the one who posted bail, set the bail, but it was set at 150, and I think it was this judge who knocked it down to 50. So these guys got out with $5,000 and are walking the street. Doug's living on the street. So the fear and the trauma is continual. You know, he doesn't know if these guys are going to come back around. You know,
I'll be somewhere and somebody hollers, I'm walking on the street, and anymore I don't know, you know, what's being, I don't hear very well, and I don't know what's being said, and it just makes you kind of leery of every car that goes by and says, hey, because, you know, if they're young people, that might be their friends, you know, and it just really.
Well, the nice thing here is you really had the support of law enforcement. You had the support of the prosecutor, Dan Dow's office. You had major support with people in the community. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Good afternoon. I'm just catching bits and pieces of what you guys are talking about. And I just have a general question. All my life, I've been taught and I've practiced, you know, that crime doesn't pay. And the older I get, I'm not sure that's the case anymore, because I see these light sentences. I see society not even bending, but going towards protecting those that harm others. At what point does society say we're not being protected by our government, our institutions? At what point do they say we're going to take it upon ourselves to protect ourselves? Because obviously, these our institutions, our court systems, justice system, they're not doing the job. At what point do people just go, and this is probably a good question for Mr. Dow, at what point do people get fed up and say, hey, I can't trust these judges, I can't trust these lawyers, I can't trust the media, I can't trust people like Don Addis that are in political positions? When do they say, hey, I'm just taking care of it myself, to hell with the system?
You know, I'm going to expand that out a little bit, because I'm seeing a lot more brutality in the world in general. I mean, the way that our government is addressing issues is, you know, bravado. Just, you know, we want to, you know, beat these people up because they're in our way. And or, you know, I'm not quite saying it right, but there's a, you know, putting MMA on the White House lawn, things like this. It's sort of pushing that agenda of toughness. And I think, you know, I believe that it affects people.
Well, I think more when you have something like this, where you have people that run around and they commit violent crimes and they get light sentences, that does it for me. You know, MMA or whatever, UFC, these people are making a conscious effort to go in and fight in a ring, and they're making money. But when you have our system that says, you know what, you as a citizen, you are you're fourth in the line behind people that commit crimes, behind the homeless, behind people that come here illegally, and then maybe we'll think about you. There's a big problem brewing, and at some point people are going to say they've had enough. And I just don't understand why these people in these positions can't see that. The judges, the politicians, the media, at some point they're going to push over the wrong person, and there's going to be problems. And I think there are a lot of people that might be at that brink. There's a movie that's out that I saw that's gaining some traction, and I don't know if anybody's seen it. It's called Citizen Vigilante. And I think people should check it out. It's not a great movie, but it has a message where there might be a point where people can get pushed too far.
No, that's a good point. I think that there's a little bit of erosion to the deterrent factor here, because you let somebody off with that kind of sentence and this becomes a social media issue, then.
And where's the recourse? You got a judge, and I think I've heard you guys talking about the judge with a light sentence. Where's the recourse for a bad judge? Everybody knows when these guys go out and do something different. You're just talking about these kids possibly getting out, you know, $5,000 bill, I think, if I heard correctly, and going out. What's the recourse on somebody who puts a light sentence like that, a judge, on somebody that goes out and harms somebody else. I think about myself and I go, if I go and harm somebody, if I get into a little scrape and I take a swing at somebody and maybe it's justifiably, I think it's justifiable, that's assault. I go away.
You know, I talk... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
But my point is, I'm going with this. These guys get out and they could come reoffend, and the people that are supposed to protect us have more sympathy and light sentences for these people than go out and do it again, and there's no recourse.
Absolutely. And I feel like the police officers that stood up were really trying to make sure that this, that, you know, that this was about seriously punishable, sentence. And that didn't happen. And the other situation is, they all said the same thing, that these guys are not sort of, they felt like this is, these guys are not, there's no remorse, that there's, that recidivism rate for these guys was 100%. That they, if they get let out, they'll be right back in.
Yeah, and do it again.
I want to thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask our guests today?
Hi, how are you folks? Great conversation. Number one, I'd like to say this was an appointed judge, not an elected judge. And we have a real problem with a lot of these far left-leaning judges down across the map that are really exercising the very, very lenient policies here in California that are not supporting the victim. They're certainly supporting the criminal. And this is really horrible. Dan has really got his hands tied. We have a great DA, but he's up against a block wall with these crazy policies making our streets unsafe.
We're going to take a break. Thank you for calling in. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more discussing with Doug Mark, Michael Federico, and then Dan Dow will be calling in.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with the major averages ending lower after the Dow lost steam in the final hour of trading after being solidly higher for the better part of the trading day. Investors are getting in gear for the first major tech earnings reports to gauge the sustainability of the AI-driven market rally. Alphabet, IBM, Tesla, and Texas Instruments will be releasing results after the closing bell. Investors will be looking for proof that AI spending is paying off. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks were mostly lower, led by Microsoft and Meta. And oil prices climbed to six-week highs with West Texas Intermediate crude nearing $87 a barrel. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Nvidia, and Johnson & Johnson. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, IBM, and Salesforce. The Dow down 6 points. The Nasdaq lower by 146. S&P 500 down 10. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
July is flying by, and so are the appointments at Spa Allegretto. Don't miss your chance to enjoy a complimentary Arnica peppermint foot treatment with any spa service all month long at Allegretto Vineyard Resort in Paso Robles. The perfect summer treat. Before the month is gone, call Call 805-369-2524 or visit AllegrettoVineyardResort.com. July appointments are going fast. Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursdays. I'm talking about a violent assault that occurred in Arroyo Grande where two men, young men, hunted a homeless man, beat him, and left him with permanent brain injuries. They were given a year in jail, which means they'll serve 6 months. There are quite a few people that are upset about this happening. And we got the text message, would it be treated any different if they were not white? Then he wrote back, I meant the victim may get a whole lot more support from the public if the victim was black. You know, I don't know how we got to a point in society where we care one way or another. It used to be you're supposed to try not to talk about it and notice, and it doesn't matter if the victim or the assailant, the color of the skin. This idea that everything is about color. As a reporter, you were not supposed to say it unless... So, for example, if you have a bank robber and he's got red hair, you're going to say the bank robber has red hair. Tattoo across the cheek, color of skin... When they're looking for a suspect, you have to use the color. But other than that, this new idea of you talk about everybody's race on everything, I find it doesn't help society at all. I don't know if it makes any difference here or not. I do want to get into a little bit about the judge, because we keep saying the judge. We can name the judge. It's a newer judge. I don't think they've been a judge for that long. And her name is, let me pull up her name, Crystal Seiler, Judge Crystal Seiler. I think she actually lives in Santa Maria. I think she's from Santa Barbara County. And I think her husband's a well-known attorney. But one of the things is the judges do have to follow the legislators' rules on different criminal aspects. And so the rule by the legislation is that you have to consider their age. But I think when you consider their age, you also need to look at this. These men were happy they did this. They posted it online. They were bragging about it.
Yeah, there's bad wiring there. These guys were brutal and they were, you know, it's like Hitler Youth. There's no compassion. There's no, you know, consideration there. And just the enjoyment of it. There's a lot of hate there. I don't understand it.
And if there wasn't the video camera in the park, it would never even come to light.
Yeah.
And I can't thank Dan Dow's DA's office and the Victims of Witness enough. They've really been over backwards to, you know, make sure this doesn't get just swept under the rug.
And welcome to Sound Off. We have Dan Dow now joining us, District Attorney Dan Dow. Thank you very much for calling in, Dan. We've had quite a few callers, and almost everyone is upset at the light sentence for these two young men.
Absolutely. Thank you, Karen, for having me on. And Mr. Mark, I want to once again just tell you my heartfelt grieving with you for what happened to you. It's unthinkable. No human should treat another human being that way, and especially here in our community. You're absolutely right, Karen. It was shocking behavior. I've seen more outrage through social media and communications to our office about this than we get in many other types of cases. And I'm grateful that we were able to secure convictions. While I'm very sad and disappointed with the sentence, I think our community has made it very obvious that they think that was an injustice.
Hey, Dan.
And hello, Dan, sir. One thing I wanted to ask you, since this, and like 4 or 5 days ago, There were some videos posted on social media, a group of what looked to be either junior high and maybe freshmen and sophomores, a group of about 12 boys in Arroyo Grande, and they went to an area where homeless was sleeping, and they were throwing rocks and sticks while one of them filmed and yelling, "Go away, tweakers," and then they all ran off laughing and giggling. Can parents be found somewhat culpable if you have groups of teens hunting homeless and assaulting them?
Great question, Karen, and I would say, you know, most lawyers would tell you, well, it all depends, and it really does depend on the facts and what can be established. If the parents have reason to know that their children are engaged in that kind of behavior, if they're under 18, engaged in that behavior, parents would most certainly have a potential liability under the civil code, so in civil court for a lawsuit. Whether they could be held criminally liable really would just depend on what they knew, what authority they had exerted over their children. But beyond that, you know, parents unfortunately sometimes are ill-equipped to train, and they and are not training our next generation to live in a manner that respects human life and dignity that each human being should have. And it seems like with the purveyance of online social media, which makes young people want to attract attention to themselves, they want to go viral, so they're willing to take actions and then record them and post them on social media in hopes that they will go viral and maybe become popular or rich. And so it's really a sad indictment on our culture these days, and I'm hopeful that through shocking behavior like this, parents will begin to take a stronger, more direct role in training up their young people in the way that they should live.
And Dan, one of the things, and I spoke to you, this is a different case, but I spoke to you yesterday, I'll be putting a story up later today, about, for those who don't remember, last weekend there was a woman... who stole a car in Arroyo Grande, injured the man when she stole the car, seriously injured the man when she stole the car, and then was arrested in Monterey County and brought back. And they let her out of jail on her own recognizance. This man is suffering a brain injury. What is your office doing? Are you doing anything to try to get stronger sentences for violent assailants?
Well, we certainly are. We're working very hard. Every one of our prosecutors goes into court daily and fighting this, quote, system that has become so defendant-friendly and so non-friendly towards victims of crime. The situation that you're referring to involves, before there's even a conviction, but while the person is charged, a new direction that California has received from the California Supreme Court gives a presumption that people should be let out of custody before their trial, before their conviction, if at all possible. And in some ways, many ways, we've seen very violent people be released back into the community with no requirement to post bail or a bond. And then those people turning around and doing some horrible things in the community, crimes that could have been prevented if someone had been still in custody. And so, unfortunately, we are dealing with that every day. My association, the California District Attorneys Association, and others across the state are looking at, because of the Supreme Court decision, we're looking at options for putting another ballot initiative on the California voters' ballot so that we could change and put into our Constitution that no, public safety must be the primary consideration when deciding if somebody should be released prior to their case going to trial. But, you know, I don't want to talk about the specifics of the case you mentioned, but we're seeing far too many violent criminals being released before their trial. And unfortunately, when you look across the state, maybe not here in San Luis Obispo, but across the state, many additional violent crimes are happening while those people are out pending trial.
How does that change? How do you address that? What is their action to be taken that can...
Well, I think because it's due to a California Supreme Court decision called Kowalczyk, K-O-W-A-L-C-Z-Y-K, that case causes our Superior Court judges to believe that they need to release people prior to trial. So really the only thing we can do is get an initiative on the ballot that the Supreme Court will have to comply with to change and embed it into our Constitution, saying that the safety of our communities, the safety of victims is paramount when determining the pretrial custody status of a violent criminal. And so the way for listeners to get involved is to be listening for when we come up with this initiative. And secondly, write to your legislator. The other way for the law to change is if the legislature would change the law. I'm a little cynical, though. The people in control in Sacramento right now are not very friendly to crime victims, and they're unfortunately, they become more friendly towards making things better for the offenders. And so,
why is that?
At the end of the day, I don't know, other than they have a different worldview, and they kind of have a tendency to not want to support tough-on-crime legislation. And so we've been fighting it now since 2011 in the California legislature. It's gotten continually worse. Only 2 years ago when we put Prop 36 on the ballot have we seen it come back a little bit towards the center. The voters said enough is enough. We want repeat thieves and repeat drug cases to finally be able to be prosecuted as a felony. So the voters have once already helped us pull back against Sacramento. My hope is that they will do that with us again when it comes to this bail initiative that we're hoping to get put on the ballot.
We have a caller. Dan wants to ask a question. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask today?
Hey, Dan, this is Dale. You know, the public doesn't understand the process for sentencing. Maybe you ought to explain that the judge usually refers it to probation for a recommendation. And sometimes the defendants con the probation, and they're thinking they're remorseful and all that, and try and get the judge to give a lighter sentence. And then that's called in mitigation. A guilty plea is a factor in mitigation. But you also are entitled to submit evidence in aggravation. And maybe you can explain that to the public, please.
Sure. Well, thank you, Dale. You did a pretty good job of explaining it right there. Dale's correct that a judge refers a case initially after a plea or a conviction to the probation department for a recommendation. But the probation report, when they do their job thoroughly, and they usually do, includes recommendations on the factors in aggravation and the factors in mitigation. And then ultimately a judge has to make a decision. As long as their decision is based in the law and the facts of the case, they probably won't get overturned. And so there is some discretion, if you will, that a judge has. And on the case of Mr. Mark and in his case with the two young adults that brutalized him, the court, I believe firmly that the court could have sentenced them to prison, but it was a decision that she made that she felt warranted probation. And I can't argue with her reasoning other than to say I take a very different position. I think that the crime was so vicious, so callous, so inhumane that the only way for these young adults to learn from it would have been an appropriate time in state prison. When we give them probation, it's like putting them on a timeout a little bit and saying, you know, that wasn't good, but you know, it wasn't that serious. When this was one of the most serious, vicious crimes against a defenseless individual that I've ever seen.
And Dan, at what point does two kicks to the head or four kicks to the head become attempted murder as opposed to two kicks to the head? Because the last kick to the head was the one that laid me out flat, unconscious, and they walked off not knowing if I was dead or alive.
Absolutely, and you raise a great point. Where the line is between assault causing great bodily injury and attempted murder is squarely in how much evidence do we have of their actual intent. So the law requires us to prove not just the act and its logical possible conclusion, but under murder, attempted murder, we have to prove that they specifically intended that the victim die as a result of their conduct. And so we might be able to argue it with some reason, we need proof beyond a reasonable doubt that their actual goal in that inflicting that abuse was intended to cause death,
not just
reckless.
So had I died, what would they say? Oh, we didn't mean to kill him, and get a slap on the wrist at the same time?
No, yeah, and great question. Had you died, then we would be able to infer from your death that they intended for you to die. So we would have been able to charge it at least as a second-degree murder.
Dan, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to put you on hold for a moment, and we'll be back with more with Dan Dow, Doug, and Michael after a word from our sponsors.
Propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online deltaliquidenergy.com.
Ryan, what do painters do when it gets cold outside?
I don't know. What?
Well, they put on another coat, of course.
Seth, that joke needs some touch-up.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
We paint interiors year-round.
But fall and winter? That's when it's perfect time.
Yeah, perfect time for a fresh look.
We do full interior painting, residential and commercial. We work with your schedule.
Plus cabinet painting that makes old kitchens look brand new.
Clean lines, no mess, no stress.
From one room in your home to a whole office building, tasting room, medical suites, we've got you covered.
This season, call the Peek Brothers. I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
And everybody loves a great experience.
That's Peek Painting. P-E-E-K painting.com.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finish work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Have you felt that instant panic when your car breaks down? You deserve to be treated like a guest, not a problem. At Shiftin' Gears Auto Repair, they're shiftin' expectations with hospitality-geared auto service. Transparent updates, honest answers. They have your back from the moment you call, and they are always ready to serve you. Next. Finally, auto repair that puts you first.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have both Doug Mark, a homeless man that was beat in Arroyo Grande. I have Good Samaritan Michael Federico, a person that came forward and helped him get a place to stay. And then I have District Attorney Dan Dow on the show. Dan, while we were on break, I was asked, is there a stigma with homeless? Is there an idea that homeless have, do the judges treat homeless any different from other victims?
You know, I sure hope not. I can't imagine that that would be a conscious thing. But we all carry with us some kind of subconscious biases and things like that. In fact, the attorneys are continually educated about trying to remove our subconscious, subtle, implicit bias that we kind of all have as human beings. But I certainly don't believe that that had a direct effect here. Although each, you know, person that comes before the court, the judge has to consider all of the facts that are unique to that particular case. So it may subtly be involved, just because part of the story of this horrific case is Mr. Mark's vulnerability, being an unhoused individual sleeping outdoor in a public area. So, you know, that fact can't be removed. It has to be considered. I would hope that it would do the opposite. I would hope that it would engender a judge or a jury to say, this person was so vulnerable, we need to be extra, extra careful to adequately and appropriately sentence these individuals who are responsible. Because to prey on someone who is vulnerable is some of the worst conduct somebody can commit.
I wonder if there's something that can be done in Arroyo Grande. I just was shocked when I saw that video this week with that many kids all working together to run around and harass the homeless on video.
Well, I hope that that you and or others, if you write about it, I'm hopeful that the city of Arroyo Grande leaders will, the elected officials, the police chief, the school's superintendent, that they will pay attention to that and take note of it, because those that are involved with our youth in the community need to know about what's going on. They need to have their finger on the pulse of the changing culture within our youth, and they need to then respond to it. I mean, parents are number one primarily responsible, but those that have other duties to care and mentor and coach our young people should also be mindful of these things and teaching our young people that we need to respect each other as human beings.
You know, it doesn't take much to fall through the safety net of, you know, security and for food and housing and all of that. And this world and this climate and this economy, that you know, one little slip and you could be homeless yourself, be out on the street. And a lot of people just don't understand that, you know, this isn't of their doing in a lot of ways. It isn't something that they should be blamed for or thought about in that way, that these are really interesting people that have had interesting lives, and, you know, compassion should be a big part of that picture, and understanding. You know, a lot of questions that I have about how do these people actually live, how do they get around, how do they protect themselves, what is their daily fear, you know, of living like this, and how does it become sort of I guess a routine, or becomes normal. It gets normalized. But, you know, these people are very much marginalized and sort of sidestepped. And you come out of a grocery store and you see them, and your immediate reaction is, I don't want to look at that, or you know, deal with this, or what have you. And, you know, maybe there's guilt, maybe there's some selfishness there. But it really would be nice to have more people open up to the homeless, and maybe that's a whole nother topic.
And Mike, I do want to ask you, you put together a GoFundMe. Can you, and I'll try to get an opinion piece up later today with a link to it. But how do people, what's the name of the GoFundMe and how do they find it?
It's a hard name because it's a bunch of numbers and letters in the actual address. But we can post it on your site. And it's basically the headline. It's the headline of the story that you told. Homeless man gets, you know, brutally beaten by youth, and we've raised $5,800 already for a target of 6,000.
I don't know.
Yeah, we've raised $5,800, and Doug will use that to, you know, sort of get restabilized and hopefully take care of medical bills and things that aren't covered.
And I can't thank the community and people enough for the kindness shown.
Oh, it's outstanding.
The generosity.
Yeah, and a lot of that is triggered again by the sentencing. I think the outrage has really sort of helped, you know, parlay this into a more generous situation for helping out Doug.
And Dan, almost every caller that has called in, their whole concern has been the sentencing.
Yes.
They're just shocked that this, that people that are, that assault someone can get a less sentence than someone that stole a bike.
Especially when they have a history, and I don't care if the judge can't enter that, can't use that in her decision, but at some point, there is a human element involved. She has to say, right, hey, these guys, you know, are dangerous. And if I couldn't get them last time, we'll get them this time. I don't, you know, it just is amazing.
Well, you certainly, you have the support and care of a lot of people across our community, Doug, and I know I've seen a lot of questions saying how do we help him, and so I know there's a lot of people that want to help. I'd like to be able to include that GoFundMe information on my own personal page just to help share it and get the word out there among people that have asked me how can they help you. And again, I want to say this too. Those two young men do not stand for San Luis Obispo County. They don't represent us. We are a good community with a lot of generous people that have kind hearts towards those that are less fortunate. And I'm proud to be a citizen in San Luis Obispo County because, by and large, we're not reflected by these young men. And they're an anomaly, and we're going to stand up to them and anybody like them and say their conduct will not be tolerated in our community.
You're absolutely right, and I'd like to just one more time take the opportunity to thank you and your office and the victim's witness and the woman who made the final summation in my behalf hit a home run. She stated it exactly and accurately, and how the judge can ignore that is beyond
me. What was the prosecutor on the case, Dan?
That's Deputy District Attorney Julie Antos.
Thank you.
And she's got great experience here, done just about every kind of case that we have. And I'm grateful for her strong advocacy on your behalf.
She was wonderful. Yeah.
She really was.
And Dan, I'm going to post a link to this, and I'll send it over to you in an email. The title is Help Doug Mark Recover After a Brutal Assault. And I'm looking at it now. It's already raised over $6,000. So the community is coming forward and is helping. Dan, I want to thank you very much for calling in today. I wanted the public to know what your office is doing. To be aggressive, I know that you're very aggressive on child molestation, child cases, rape cases, and assault cases.
Yes.
And your office takes these things very seriously.
We sure do, and the whole office of 108 employees really are in this work because we care about our community. We want to live in a safe community where this kind of thing is not tolerated, and most of the people in my office don't go to court. They're the support staff. So we've got 37 lawyers, and the other 70, you know, or so folks cared very deeply, and they work really hard. So thank you for the opportunity to kind of point out their hard work for our community.
Thank you.
God bless you, Doug, and God bless you, Michael, as well.
Peace be upon you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I also want to, Michael, I want to thank you. You're being good to your fellow man. You giving him a place to stay, you helping him raise money after this happened and help him work at your place. Thank you very much. And thank you for coming all the way down here today.
Sure. Dan mentioned it. Parents. I had great parents, you know. It's been interesting knowing this man, and I think I am being paid back in this level of friendship and understanding, as well as the landscaping skills. This guy's like a botanist, and he has transformed my we share this passion of transformation.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
He told me, Mike told me how great his yard is looking with you staying there.
it went from backyard garden to Bucart gardens, you know, like overnight. My budget for fertilizer was, you know, the equivalent of a Happy Meal twice a year for these plants. And he came over and he said, oh, these guys are hungry. And then it became a buffet and a banquet for them. And it's all insanely beautiful now. Thank you, Doug.
And Doug, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And I hope the headaches go away and that you feel better. And I'll be back tomorrow. I'm going to have Greg Graywell. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the events coming up in the community before going into a discussion with Greg Graywell about the latest win in the war over the Paso Robles Water Basin.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL was brought to you by Lynn Patrol, specializing in dryer vent cleaning. Don't overwork your dryer or let your vents start a fire. Contact Dylan at LynnPatrolCA.com or call 805-975-5176.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.